All right, do it.
This call is being recorded.
Welcome to the 15th episode of the Negative World Podcast. We are recording this on Sunday night, August 28th. I am Guillaume, and with me today I have Anand.
I am Anand, actually.
Oh,
and that's fine. It's all cool. I mean, I can pronounce your name, but that's fine.
Sure.
Yeah. And I have no topic because we're going to just be talking about a smorgasbord of New York City Negative World Trip stuff. And also we have Abdu.
Hey, what's up?
And also we have Mr. Robopo.
Hey, what's up?
Sure, take over my job. Jeez. All right. Okay. So yeah, like totally spoil my punch. But yeah, this is the self-indulgent episode of the Negative World Podcast. We are just going to be talking about, well, first you've noticed that there hasn't been one in a month, and it has to do with a New York trip that the Negative World Podcast, or what am I saying?
During which we could have theoretically actually recorded a podcast, but we were so disorganized that we really could barely leave the apartment.
Like, yeah, no, it would have been insane. There's no way that was going to work.
Like, it would have been recorded on tin cans and string and, like, what's that thing? Gramophone? Like, the thing that records it directly to record?
Exactly.
Sure.
Anyway, so, yeah, we were there for the first time. Well, some of us were meeting up for the first time. And we have decided that this podcast would be about that experience. And Anand and Mr. Mustache and I all stayed for, like, what, 5-6 days in New York City?
Yeah.
Rented an apartment, and we have Abdu here in Brooklyn. And
beautiful
Abdu
Brooklyn,
here.
Downtown Brooklyn.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was fortunate enough to make it down for one night to meet up with you guys.
One glorious night.
Yeah, yes. We were the fortunate ones, really.
Yes.
And we also had Jargon and his wife. Also for that weekend, and also
they came in specifically to order $26 pastrami sandwiches.
Oh my gosh. Never again.
Yeah, we're gonna hear about
those
that for a long
sandwiches.
Time I think.
he was pissing blood. I could see it in his eyes.
Horrible.
And finally we also had Wei and Charles Deathly Hallows, who were there, like, natives from Brooklyn or New York. I'm not sure.
Who were the best hosts ever and took us to so many ice cream places and Chinese places and awesome just places in general. And let
Indeed.
Us use their equipment. Yes.
Hey, Gee, you forgot Mrs. Mustache.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you were there with her. Well,
how could you forget her?
Weren't you? I thought that Anand had properly introduced her. I'm sorry.
I don't, what, that wasn't his job at all. That was you.
Hello, I'm Mrs. Mustache.
No, she's hard at work right now, or earning money for the next trip, wherever it may be.
Awesome. Right,
she was the only
she's,
one.
She's very sad guy. She cannot be here, but she sends her regards. And
she's earning money for Rochester 2012.
Or Montreal.
Montreal.
Where could it be?
We don't know. Like there's still nothing sure.
Australia.
Sure, Australia. Yeah, there's someone who'd like to know that. To for it to be there.
Yeah, well, we have one confirmed guest for Australia 2012, which is one quarter of our confirmed guests for New York. So we're pretty good so far. This far ahead of the game.
All right, so let's talk about stuff that people might care about, like video games or something.
All right. Well, should we talk about what it's like meeting each other in person after chatting on the internet for a pretty decent amount of time?
Well, I don't know. I had like my first experience with that when I went to LA with Griptor. So that I don't know. I think I was already kind of used to it, and you guys, you know, Stash and Anand had already met each other in San Francisco.
We did Terra San Francisco.
Undisclosed reason in San Francisco, but there's not a thousand things that happened there.
Oh my god.
So I think we can all guess.
We tore San Francisco a new hole, so to speak.
Oh my god.
So really, I'm the only noob that is fresh to this experience.
Yeah, and you were the everyman of the trip, too.
Well, you were the most surprising because you're like in completely good shape and stuff.
Yeah, actually, we had an arm wrestling tournament that I arranged because I thought I could beat everybody. But Abdu was a total ringer. He was totally juicing before the show. Like, he just showed up and he took off his shirt and he's got these huge guns. And I was like, fuck. plus, he's left-handed. It's like a left-handed pitcher or something. It just totally threw me off.
He's
a fierce competitor.
You're a mighty thumb wrestler.
That's basically what meeting each other was like, I guess. I don't know. What else is there to say?
Well, Guillaume, you didn't participate in the arm wrestling tournament. How do you think you would have fared?
Well, I don't know. Like, where did your incredible strength come from? Because you don't have mustaches, hair, or use guns.
Samson?
So what the hell? Yeah.
Actually, it's the opposite of that, right? Because the more testosterone you have, the less hair you're supposed to have, right? So that whole Samson thing is a dirty lie. Another dirty lie perpetrated by the Judeo-Christian system set up in this country.
Oh, this again. It's like half the trip.
And I'm also going to talk about that when we're talking about Jeopardy.
Oh, gosh.
All right, so I guess, I don't know, let's just move on to the topics that talk about games and stuff.
Okay.
We did some pretty good gaming, I guess. Although not as much as I would have thought, but that's mostly because of the aforementioned disorganizedness.
What?
disorganized, I think. Yeah.
Yeah,
if
sure.
If I may translate, yeah. But, yeah, you know, exactly. We brought so many more games than we actually played because we went to New York. I feel like if we went to anywhere else, we would have played significantly more games. But because we went to New York, you know, we just got lost in the subway all day instead.
Yeah, basically ran around in circles and went multiple times to the same places, but like
the same exact places. Yes, we went to three total places, but we went there like 20 times each. Basically,
pretty much
on different days.
But yeah, I had to lug like 1,000 pounds PlayStation 3, like the old model, and you had to lug around your Xbox. And
I did. In fact, I got totally profiled at the airport. Because I look like a terrorist. I mean, whatever. But, I mean, I do, but still. But no, but actually, I got totally profiled, and I was x-rayed and irradiated on the way there, which I didn't realize I could refuse until I talked to somebody afterwards. And then they tried to irradiate me again on the way back because of my fucking Xbox that we played about 30 seconds of during the whole trip. And the second time I refused it, I'm like, I know my rights. I don't want to be irradiated twice within 3 days and like quadruple my radiation exposure for the year. And then he's like, okay, just stand to the side here. And so I stood to the side, and this guy came, and he basically just like raped me with his hands. It was the worst thing ever. It was so horrible, like the most awful experience ever. And don't ride Delta Airlines ever, people, by the way.
Oh my god, you want me to cut that out the podcast?
No, keep it in, because Delta has to pay, and the airlines have to pay. The terrorists have won, because I was raped with somebody's hand, gloved hand at the airport. It was horrible.
I'm kind of fuzzy on how that was the Xbox's fault, though.
Because, like, it made everybody suspicious. They thought it was, like, I had to take it out of my suitcase, because it qualified as a piece of, like, large electronics, like a possible bomb or something like that.
Well, it can catch fire, right?
I mean, yeah, they can spontaneously combust, but only when they're plugged in.
Oh, that's a good story.
All right, so we played some video games. Let's talk about those Xbox games that you guys totally played four-player Explosion Man without me, right?
We did. We played it before you got there, and everybody loved it, as far as I could tell. No. Actually, everybody hated it except for me. I love Explosion Man. I think it's like I think it's an awesome platformer. That I also think New Super Mario Bros. Is a good platformer because both of them have one component, which is interaction. You know, like there's some multiplayer platformers where you just go through each other, and it's kind of like, what's the point to me about even having it multiplayer? But I like when you can kind of mess around with each other and interact with each other. And Explosion Man specifically, New Super Mario Bros. Is fun in multiplayer because it's just like so stupid and insane, and you're just like bumping each other off of things and throwing each other down holes. Well, I'm just throwing each other down holes. I'm just throwing everybody else down holes. And that's fun, but like Explosion Man has like 50 levels that are specifically geared towards multiplayer stuff. So there's multiplayer puzzles and stuff like that. And in two player play, it works pretty well. But when you have four people, it's just like monkeys in a barrel. Like you'll just randomly get it after 30 minutes of trying to do the same puzzle. But I think it's really fun still because it requires coordination and timing and things like that. But apparently everyone else hated it.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah.
Get it? But speaking of New Super Mario Brothers, I don't know. That was my first experience playing that with like four players. And
really?
You say that it's fun. Yeah. And you say that it's fun, like throwing people off cliffs and stuff like that. But, you and Miss Mustache laughed a lot.
Miss Mustache,
but
yeah.
Rob did not seem amused.
Well, Rob is a big fan of clean air.
Yeah, I love, man, being out front, getting it done. Gee, you were the same way, though. You and I wanted to, like, make everything work and get it done.
Yeah, we were just trying to get through the levels, and we had, like, these two other guys just, like, yeah.
You guys are all about the destination, but really it should be about the journey. And you should have been drinking Rumpelmintz and Goldschlager with Mrs. Mustache and I.
I mean, you guys got tanked on two sips.
It's strong stuff, dude. It's like 400 proof.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I just the coin battle was cool because then you're supposed to be a jerk.
The battle mode?
Yeah.
Right? I like those like clean distinctions. You know, like you've got the co-op mode where you're actually cooperating, and the BNS mode where you're trying to fend for yourself. But
to me, there's no distinction.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Both modes are just being ass mode to me, except the coin thing has like an irritating side thing that I have to worry about while being an ass.
And you didn't win that mode that often.
Which one?
Coin.
Yeah, the coin mode.
I won that a bunch. I don't remember how often Gee won it. I know, Anand, you didn't win it too often, though.
I wasn't trying to win, ever.
I know, you're just being a jerk the whole time. Yeah
exactly. No, that's actually something that Nintendo kind of pioneered, right, with Four Swords and things like that, which we also played, which is the kind of sort of cooperative, competitive thing, like at the same time, you know? Which it was, I think a couple games do it now. But back in the day, it was a pretty weird idea. Like, the first time you heard of it, you're like, how can you be cooperative while being competitive? And basically, it's just by throwing everyone else down a hole at every possible opportunity.
Well, there's a thing in Joust, too, which is way before that stuff, and we can talk more about that
Joust
later.
Joust isn't really competitive, right? Because you're supposed to help each other. If you kill each other, you'll just make it to, like, the second stage or something. But it's so fun to kill each other.
But they give you, sometimes they give you bonus bounties, like for taking out your buddy.
Oh, really?
There's like a bounty, yeah.
That's awesome. Do you actually lose your lives? Do you lose your lives?
If you kill your buddy, he would lose a life.
Oh, that's interesting. You know, like Balloon Fight? Have you guys played Balloon Fight?
Yeah, of course.
It's Nintendo's ripoff of Joust, which is easier to control and also easier to kill your friends. And, basically they have these bonus stages in which balloons just fly out of pipes and you're supposed to cooperate and get the colored balloons and whatever. But lives don't matter in that stage. So we would just spend the whole time, it would just be like a brutal death match. Well, all 20 balloons were released to see who could get more kills than the other person. Basically, what I'm trying to say is I'm an ass in every single co-op game. my friend used to have a Double Dragon arcade machine, and I would spend the whole game just punching him in the gut, kneeing him, and then throwing him off of cliffs. we just put more credits in. Anyway, continue.
I've never, ever, ever done that. Like, my friends and I, whenever we'd play games like that, we would always like take like game mode B or whatever it's called, and like where you can't hit each other.
Oh, that's not fun at all, dude. Are you kidding me?
That's totally fun.
No friendly fire. You guys are clean air, whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, that's the best part about River City Ransom. You could play it like a normal game, or you could just get all the upgrades, like Acro whatever, Acro Circus, and you could just beat the shit out of each other. It's so awesome. And like it's like as good as a fighting game, but it's not a fighting game. You're just subverting the game rules. It's awesome. And, you know, Four Swords, when I played with Zero a long time ago, we got to the point where we were just attacking each other to the point where, you know, you're competing in terms of coins at the end of the level. So you cooperate to get to the end of the level, and then you compare how many coins you have. But all of us had zero coins because we were just, like, setting each other on fire and, you know, hitting each other with boomerangs the whole time and bombs.
That's terrible. I don't know how you can call that fun. But, yeah, talk a little bit more about, Four Swords because so I can live vicariously through you because I've never been able to touch that game, unfortunately. I bought a Game Boy in New York City so I could play it, and then I didn't.
Oh, hello. I can't hear anything anymore. Can you guys?
Wait a minute.
Hello?
They're working
what out. Is going on?
Okay, so I was saying Four Swords, you know, you had to, it was a combination of cooperative, competitive. So the GBA's Four Swords is actually different because if you just grief each other the whole time, none of you will have enough coins to end the level. You actually have to be in a positive, I think, overall coins thing. So it's geared a little more towards cooperative play, I think.
So you're forced to cooperate in the cooperative mode.
You're forced to cooperate.
Unheard of.
At least a little bit. Yeah, you would like that mode. It's all clean air. Not all clean air.
But oh, for people who don't know what clean air is, that's a NASCAR term, and Anand's all over me about it for some reason. It's when you're like out front, you don't have to worry about anybody, and you can like do whatever you want, basically. So you're generally going faster because there's no one obstructing your, you know, place to go. But when you're back in the pack, you're in dirty air, and then you get all that crap from other cars too, all that exhaust and stuff.
But that's real air. That's the fun air.
If for you,
but it's like that Mario Kart Wii game that we played, where you
exactly.
had
yes.
like the clean air in front, like laps and laps ahead of us.
That's and where I was.
Mario Kart is a specific example where it's even more true than NASCAR probably usually, because the person in front, he gets the occasional blue shell, but the people in the middle just get the whole churn of everything else. You know, they're just attacking each other, and as long as the person in front can get a pretty good lead, then he just has to. Worry about
yeah,
the
but I should mention that we played like without items, which was the worst idea ever.
Let's not mention
any items at all.
It was awesome.
I thought it would give me like some kind of competitive advantage because no one else would be used to playing like that. And like Rob and his wife just fustigated us. It was embarrassing.
I play like that all the time.
He does play all the time. And I actually hate Mario Kart Wii, I should mention, for weird reasons, which are known only to me. I like Double Dash a lot better. We also played Double Dash a little. What were you saying?
I have to say the blue shell is probably bad air to me.
Well, the blue shell is a bit of dirty air even for the person.
It's the dirtiest.
Yeah, that's the small bit of dirty air that they have to contend with.
It should be a brown shell.
Well, so you guys, a lot of you guys hadn't played Double Dash. Like, what did you think of it compared to Wii? I mean, weren't you impressed at how much faster it was in local multiplayer and like the variety of items and things like that?
More frames, right? Second.
Yeah, it's 60 frames per second, and Mario Kart Wii kind of chugs. I feel like the whole Mario Kart Wii game is kind of geared towards online multiplayer with the wide tracks and, like, 12 cars with all having lightning and, you know, blue shells and things like that. And Mario Kart Double Dash, I think, is probably better for local play. All you need is just Baby Park and just do Baby Park over and over and over again, which is like NASCAR, Rob.
Martinsville. The paperclip.
What the hell is that?
That's what they call it. They call it the clip.
Oh, do they have a roller coaster there that goes around the track?
No, it's just small.
Oh, okay.
This is fun.
But anyway, we didn't really play. We didn't really play Double Dash that much, so I can't really remember. Like, we didn't even have time to get over the initial like learning curve, or at least I didn't. You know, the whole switching partners thing, and
that's true.
Just when I figured out like that you had like two items and you had to switch, and like I don't know. But it was still fun. And yeah, it was definitely noticeably faster.
I just feel like it's kind of like underrated. Like, I don't know if, you know, I don't want to put words into people's mouths, but I do feel like the power of suggestion might come into play with IGN score and people kind of coming around and everything. And not even on purpose, you know, just like when you read a bad review for something, don't you feel it kind of affects your opinion of it? Or if you read a good review of it?
Maybe. I just don't like Mario Kart that much in general. So
I
never played the Double Dash before, and yeah, I got like Mario Kart Wii just earlier this year. So that's my excuse for sucking.
Yeah, I don't have an excuse. Did you like any of the games? Like, did you ever like
the SNES one?
That was
fun.
A great game. Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, the racing was great. That's what I liked in Mario Kart racing, but not no item racing with Rob.
That wasn't even possible then.
Yeah.
Like in the Super Mario Kart. Yeah. When you did the one player cups, the computers wouldn't even get items. Like each player would just have their own default magical item that they could use as many times as they want. So
yeah, Luigi, and you know what wasn't there to, you know, ruin everything?
Blue Shell.
The whole like snaking thing, or the whole boosting off corners thing.
Well, like, snaking. Well, you mean then. Snaking, or do you mean the drift boosting in general? Because snaking was only
the drift boosting. I'm not a fan of that at all. But then again,
oh, you don't like it at all.
Yeah, I never really played Super Mario Kart 64 either. So,
well, Rob, as a Mario Kart expert, how do you feel about the drift boosting? You think it adds like an extra degree of depth or something to your time trial?
Well, I don't even play like manual. I play automatic.
Oh yeah,
so
you
play
automatic.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that.
You first place noob.
Yeah. No, I don't. I did a lot of like the drifting stuff in Mario Kart 64.
Yeah.
A lot, but it was not around at all in Super Mario Kart, and that's, you know, where my bread was buttered, I guess. So, I didn't play Double Dash when it came out. Like, I got it years later. After Abdu sent it to me after I won I finished second in our fantasy football thing.
What
like,
a nice guy!
I really played it. I know, what a nice guy.
I know Abdu.
He's the best.
So, going back to Double Dash, isn't it true that you can have two actual people in one cart?
Like, yeah, and that's awesome. It's like a really interesting mode. It's a cooperative, and you can't actually screw each other over like in the other Nintendo cooperative games. But it's pretty fun, especially if you have two people in one cart versus two people in another. Then the screen is only split one way, and you can steal other items like from the other cart. When you knock against it, the guy in back can steal items. There's lots of fun little mechanics like that. You know, people say that Nintendo, like Mario Kart, is just a series that's churned out. Every system has its own thing, and there's not that much innovation, just like stuff like online, logical things that would occur anyway. But Double Dash is actually an incredibly progressive game, and I feel like it doesn't get enough credit for that, because I think the weapons are very interesting, and they're very well balanced also. And, you know, there's just a lot of depth there. You know, even though
I just remember, you know, being the person with the item on the back of the cart, you could actually, like, shoot the shell any angle you wanted, which was pretty neat.
Is that true? Yeah. No, I'm not sure that's true.
I probably made that up.
I think you might have made it up. But it would be so cool if that was possible. And, you know, in the Wii U Mario Kart, there's lots of possibilities for using items in a very kind of analog way instead of just straightforward or straight backward or something like that. Like, the thing could be a rear view mirror or something, or, you know, whatever. And you could flick the shell out.
What kind of new item do you think they could add?
New items?
New game.
They're going to add 8 new items that just clutter up your screen. Like just so many different types of octopi and squids and stuff like that.
Do they do that already? Oh, they do the octopus thing.
Yeah,
the
every item they added from Mario Kart Wii is just like a whole field spamming kind of just irritation attack. Don't you guys think so? I kind of like the lightning cloud. It's kind of cool because it's a risk-reward thing of passing it on, and it makes you faster while you have it.
Oh, I really like that. That's so fun to me.
That's cool. But like the POW block and the you know, other stuff that I can't remember right now. Yeah.
Sure.
I was going to say, I use small guys usually. Like, I use Koopa Troopa, so I'm not ramming into people all the time. But when I do get the lightning, like, that's like my one time I get to hit people.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting twist. Yeah, I never thought about it. Well, that's actually an item that has risk and reward, whereas the way they do the blue shell now, it's kind of messed up. The way they do the POW block, it's kind of messed up. The ink thing is kind of just annoying, you know, for everybody else in the race. It's like, there's lots of items that just annoy you during Mario Kart Wii. That's what, there's, you know, since there's 12 players and the item frequency is so high and you can't adjust it online, even in friends-only matches, it just becomes like this just barrage of items, you know, that you have to avoid or try to deal with. And I guess there's ways to deal with most of them, but that's just not fun for me. It's not like the Mario Kart kind of smooth racing experience. But then again, I'm usually in the middle of the pack, not far ahead like Rob, drifting, automatically driving away. So I don't know. What do you guys think about Mario Kart Wii? How about you, Abdu?
There's just too many people on the track, really. The tracks are too wide.
Yeah, the battle mode is a mess.
Yeah, but... Yeah, 64 is my favorite in the series.
Which we also played, and which we also shouldn't mention, because I also lost every game on that one.
Yeah, Jargon was just so good at that game. I don't know. Again, I have the excuse that I've never really played it, so I didn't really know, like, Black Fort or whatever. So, you know, I'm fine with the fact that I just won one game, and that was it. And I was dead last for all of the other ones. But, Yeah, like I can't believe how good some people actually like. That's one like thing that I want to correct for like the next meetup that we do, because there's inevitably going to be another one. I'm going to try to get good at one N64 game, just one, at least one. Mario Tennis. I figured that no one really got good at that game. So
Mario Tennis. There's people who are really good at Mario Tennis. My little nephews can just crush me at that game. It's embarrassing.
All right. Well, don't practice too hard with him, and I'm going to crush you next year.
Well, you know, Jargon, like, he came loaded for bear. Like, he has his three or four games that he's really, really good at, you know? Like, fortunately, he wasn't allowed to play Smash Brothers. Because everybody nixed yeah. it. At a Nintendo meetup, in which we did, like, tournaments, nobody was allowed to play Smash Brothers because there were several members who were just like, I don't like Smash Brothers.
We're like, we can't play that. He's going to crush everybody.
I know, but, you know...
It's the only time ever that Nintendo nerds got together and didn't play Smash Brothers. Like,
and I actually wanted to play Smash Brothers. It's a pretty fun game. I'm not even that good, but it's just like, I think Smash Brothers is like a good Mario Kart game where even if you lose, it's funny. Like, it's amusing to see what happens, regardless of whether you win or lose. That's pretty rare, and I think Nintendo kind of has the kind of corners the market on that to a certain extent, you know? In
yeah,
multiplayer
but the problem is, though, that like you still have to know how it works. And I do have friends who have never really played a Smash Brothers game before. And I tried to initiate them like through like playing multiplayer with them, and it just doesn't work. They were not having fun.
That's always difficult, and that's one thing I wanted to focus on also, because we played a lot of party games, like a lot of games that are supposed to be accessible for people even if they've never played it, or, you know, maybe it's only accessible if everyone's experienced or something, but I learned like a lot on this trip about party games, because even if you know that a game is really fun with a group of people, if you can't hook those people within a couple minutes, they're just like, fuck this, let's play something else. You know, you just lose them immediately and you'll probably never get them back. Like, after you guys left, I tried to play Boom Blocks with a bunch of drunk people and it just wasn't happening. It's like, it was okay when we were just throwing stuff, but then they're like, camera, how do I move the camera? What is this? And I was like, oh, this isn't going down. So then we just went back to... like Wii Party. I think we focused on Wii Party for the drinking game.
And you cried by the window.
Like, who would have thought that Wii Party would be, you know, like one of the most played games?
Well, Wii Party is a pretty fun game, yeah. Like, you know, people, it seems like it kind of bombed. They didn't bomb in America, but it did not do that well. And in Japan, it did really well. And I'm pretty shocked, because Wii Party, it's pretty high quality, right? There's lots of good little games and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the find the sneak thing, where you have to yeah. guess who's cheating. That was pretty
spot
good.
Spot the sneak. Yeah.
Yeah, spot the sneak.
we didn't have anything
time,
unlocked. Yeah.
That one time where you had to like walk however many steps or whatever. Remember? You had to like walk so many feet.
Oh, and the marker disappeared.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Honest to God, I didn't know I was the sneak, and I nailed it. And I was like so excited. And then it tells me that I was the sneak, and I didn't even like cheat. Like, I don't know.
You totally cheated. You're lying.
I
right
didn't.
Now. Everything you say is a lie.
I'm the most honest person in the history of the world. And that's
in the
truth.
Of the world. what's that?
You can bank on it.
That seems like a paradox of some sort. But yeah, like Wii Party is a really fun game, and it didn't do that well here. So I guess they're not going to do any more Wii Parties, or at least the next thing is going to be Mario Party again. And that was kind of a new studio that did it. It was that ND Cube, which was founded by, I think, Konami and Nintendo to do like an F-Zero game and a couple other weird things, like Konami-Nintendo joint things. And then they took the Hudson staff from Mario Party and they staffed it with that, and they did Wii Party. But I guess now they're going back to Mario Party for the next one.
Huh. I had no idea. Like, seriously. But like the whole, like the only problem with Wii Party, I guess, like the board game, like there was no way that anyone could possibly, you know, get ahead in that game through being good at the games.
Well, there's lots of different modes, right? Yeah. I mean, you could just play games if you wanted to.
Yeah, but yeah, lots of people did want that board game action. I don't know. You know, the Mario Party kind. And they just, like, you can't get it through Wii Party. Like, it's just completely random who wins.
It's true.
I think I won.
Is that the volcano one?
Yeah,
you want that one. After trailing the whole time, I think, right?
Yeah, basically.
Or most of it.
That's the key to winning. You just have to.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, it does have a lot of like little set pieces and stuff. I'm sure it'd be tons of fun for kids to play, because, you know, they always have a chance and things like that. But there are some. I mean, if you want to play a really skill based game, I think you're gonna have to go with WarioWare party games. Mega Party Games, is that what it's called?
Which, yeah, make good party games. Yeah.
As we learned on this trip, is the best game of all time.
That was
pretty
awesome. Good.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is there any argument? Yeah, there's no dissent here, right?
There isn't, no, but really although, like, do you guys feel that the game was much... Well, yeah, it wasn't the same once you knew all the minigames. You know, like, the very first time we played it, we had a blast. Oh. Like, it was the most amazing thing ever.
Rolling around laughing, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, nonstop, just, like, everyone just in tears. And then the second time, it was, like, actually, it got serious. It wasn't fun anymore. Like, it was just, like, yeah, let's win this shit.
I think that's when I stepped in. Everybody was playing for their second time, and it was my first time, and you guys were just looking at me weird.
Yeah, we had our game faces on after being embarrassed at arm wrestling. We wanted to get Abdu back, but WarioWare Mega Party Games. If you've never played it before, it seems like it's just a GBA game with some small multiplayer additions. But it actually, in actuality, it's such an amazing multiplayer party game. And maybe it is more fun when you're unlocking everything for the first time, which we all did together, which was really fun, I thought. And trying out the different modes and seeing what the rules are. And, you know, there's lots of turnabout and things like that. And at the very end of something, you know, the winner might have to play one minigame. And then if they lose that minigame, then they lose and everybody else wins. You know, just crazy shit like that.
That happened to me. That was fun.
Yeah, I mean, like... I don't know how easy it would be to convince people to play that game, but it's pretty awesome, and I'm gonna play it at every possible opportunity from now on.
Here's the thing though, like with those party games, it becomes harder and harder when you start getting older and you don't have a lot of friends like me, and you just different season of life, and I think the Four Swords that's gonna be, I guess, re-released on the 3DS is going to be major because that's probably going to have online, right?
I don't think so. I think it's confirmed that it's not going to have online.
Yeah.
But you will at least have a big, huge base of people with the game, which is how all those kind of games should be, because otherwise, I mean, how many times have we played Four Swords in our whole lives? Like, Guillaume bought a GBA specifically to play Four Swords in New York, and then we never got around to playing, which was sad.
But yeah, like you're definitely not the only one though. Like I figure that like I don't have a whole lot of friends to play these multiplayer games with. So that probably one of the few times that I managed to play Super Mario Brothers Wii, new Super Mario Brothers, with four people and all those experiences. Like I've never had them before. And actually, when I played Little Big Planet with And I unlocked like the trophy for playing with someone.
this podcast is heading into a sad, lonely place.
No, but I mean, like, definitely, like, I was going to mention something about the WarioWare game. Like, probably this game would be no fun at all playing with people, strangers online, or even with friends online, because you can't see, their reactions or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, it's one of the things, though, it's one of the games that could definitely benefit from DLC. Like, I don't understand. I have the WarioWare Do-It-Yourself games, and there's no multiplayer component. But, like, imagine if you could download all these minigames that people create. So, Nintendo is not actually investing a whole lot of effort there. Like, you could... download new games every week, and so like this discovery that the first time that we played a game, like that would be every week. Like you could have that all the time.
Well, there was WarioWare DIY and then the WiiWare app that let you play it on your Wii, so maybe if they integrated that into like a more party game system.
Yeah, that's exactly what I just said, but you can't you can't play multiplayer in the WiiWare app, so like what's the point?
Yeah, actually, the very first WarioWare, I think, or the second one maybe, had, I think, a couple of same system multiplayer games, which you just press one button, and the other guy presses one button. You guys remember those?
Yeah, right. I never played those, but yeah.
They're just very simplistic. But yeah, that's true. I was thinking the same thing. Like, do you guys think, can you guys think of any online games that replicate that kind of party game atmosphere, like, accurately? I can't really think of any. And I'm not sure it's possible.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible at all.
But maybe if you know each other and
Yeah, and maybe if you've got like the camera thing. I've got no idea.
I think we'll all agree that WarioWare Mega Party Games is the best game of all time. I think the second best game of all time might be Buzz Mega Party Quiz or whatever it's called. PlayStation
Buzz
3.
Buzz was really good.
Which Way was kind enough to hook us up with. And I had PlayStation 2 Buzz, and it kind of sucked. But that PlayStation 3 Buzz was pretty righteous. It was pretty awesome. I was almost tempted to buy some more questions on Guillaume's PSN account. But, yeah, it was just a really fun game. I thought it was a really well-done trivia game. Probably the best trivia video game I've ever played, which is saying something, because I played, like, thousands, and most of them stink.
What was so different about the PlayStation 2 version, though? Like, why was this version so much better?
Oh, the PlayStation 2 version was just garbage. The rules were not just all messed up, and it wasn't well balanced. There were stupid mini games in between each thing, which were just some of them were random, you know.
And the host just wasn't a Muppet.
Yeah, it just wasn't fun at all. But the PlayStation, that's why I was kind of pessimistic about the PS3 version. But it was really good. If I had a PS3, that would be probably my first purchase. Yes.
Wow. okay, but like, all right. So yeah, no, that was a pretty good trivia game, but I don't like the way I lost to Rob. Like at the end, like when you have
awesome.
To, when you have like the number of questions you got right determines how high. No, yeah, the amount of cash you have determines how high your chair is, and then
in the end, then
it
keeps
dropping and dropping and dropping. Yeah,
that's
and,
awesome.
Like,
it's tense.
Yeah, it is, but I lost, so I don't like it. That's all I'm saying.
You took way too long. You took way too long to answer.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I had no idea. But the thing is, like, whatever. No,
you weren't aware of the rules? I don't think any of us were aware of the rules at the time. But that's what makes it fun,
yeah,
I guess.
But also, I wasn't, like, sometimes, like, I would, like, hit the button and it wouldn't, you know, like, I wouldn't be sure if it registered or not. Sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Right?
So. Oh, that didn't happen to me, really. But, you know, syncing up those controllers did seem like a nightmare for Way. Which
yeah,
Way was good enough to hook us up with that Buzz PS3 and all the stuff to play it. But, you know, I thought it was really fun, except for these sports questions were bullshit because Mustache got them all. And
oh, my gosh,
all of the,
I'm awesome.
All of the current music questions were bullshit because Mrs. Mustache got them all.
They weren't
aside
that bad.
Yeah, I didn't know a single one of those songs, dude. It was like all aughts stuff. I don't know a single song that was released in the aughts, I would say.
I got so many basketball questions right, and I'm like, how did I get that right? Like every other one. Like, I had no idea. Like, I guessed on some NASCAR ones, and I got those right. Like, I got them all right. It was ridiculous.
NASCAR.
I was also surprisingly knowledgeable about cartoons. I don't know how that happened. Like, seriously, I've never watched that's not true. I've seen maybe like two DreamWorks animated movies, but I knew the answers anyway. Never seen Kung Fu Panda. I knew the answer. Like it was weird.
That was also bullshit because cartoons to me means like hand-drawn, you know, cartoons, like Looney Tunes and things like that. Not the
CG.
Stones.
Yeah. I don't believe in these CG.
Over the Hedge.
Yeah, Over the Hedge. What is that? That's like for like negative 1-year-olds.
Yes, that's who it's for.
Exactly, it's for babies in the womb.
We played another trivia game, TV part. What was it called?
TV show king.
Not nearly as successful though. Huh?
Yeah, like, that was the second best trivia game we played at the meetup.
Yeah, and the second one we played. But I mean,
did I fall asleep? I must have been falling asleep then. I don't remember.
No, like it was the one in the Wii, like with the pointer and you had to spin a wheel. There was actually a mode where you don't have to spin the wheel, which makes the game like 300 times faster. And we should definitely have played that, but I had no idea that existed. But yeah.
Oh,
and, like,
it shows the crowd in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're running out of the crowd.
And
somebody kept picking
WiiWare,
your dad.
Exactly. And since it's WiiWare, like there was no dialogue, you know, you can hear the guy read the question. That makes a pretty big difference.
I guess so. To me, I just the reason I like Buzz so much, we're just talking about Buzz the whole time. The listeners are like, what is this bullshit? I don't want to put Buzz. No, but it's awesome. You should play it. But the reason I liked it so much was that it had a variety of game types and they were all good and they were all different interesting rule sets on normal trivia things. It was pretty much all of the variants that you would normally get, and it was kind of skill-based, you know, and I just thought it had a good amount of variety for a trivia game, and the questions were fun.
I thought they eased you in pretty good, too. Like, right out of the gate, it was, you know, there's no penalty for getting anything wrong.
Exactly, and no time limit.
Yeah, and if you got it right, you got it right. But then, like, after that, you were, like, rewarded for ringing in faster and getting it correctly.
Yeah.
And then eventually, if you ring in first and you get it, nobody gets points.
Yeah,
and that was
yeah.
pretty cool. And then there was the bomb variation too.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the pies. The pies. Forgot about the pies.
And also, you know, like each of us, like all of us independently developed our own two thumb mechanic for hitting the buttons with only one press without moving our thumbs at all, just rolling it back and forth along the four buttons. I thought that was pretty funny.
Do you guys play like trivia games outside of the ones we're talking about? Like, do you do that that deal like at Buffalo Wild Wings or bars or
like, I know back in college I know. Or something? Yeah.
All right, so like rapid fire, maybe the games, the other games that we played.
Should we talk about the retro games that we played, like Barcade and things like that?
Yeah, well, actually, we're gonna move on to that. But first, I wanted to mention that you completely killed your co-op partner, me, at what's that game? Earth Defense Force.
Earth
like a giant with a giant nuclear gun or something. Like you shot straight at me, and we're like, oh, sorry. I guess I'm going to keep playing this by myself now.
Yeah, that was a co-op game that does not follow Nintendo's sort of like accessible, easy to get into thing. It's like you could be playing for 10 minutes and then shoot a missile and kill your co-op partner with splash damage, and then he's just gone. And then an ant will shoot you with acid and you'll die too, and you'll have to do the whole level over again.
Exactly.
That's why like we didn't really get to dig into that game, but what's fun about it is that whole risk-reward thing, because you could play the whole thing and pick up so many weapons power-ups, and then at the last moment get killed, and you don't earn any of those weapons power-ups. That's why it's so like kind of thrilling when you do well, or just sort of totally frustrating when you do badly. That's what's kind of fun about the game for me. It's sort of like Diablo, but with guns, like that one game was supposed to be, which was bought by Korean people and then closed down. The PC game. But yeah, like, did you play any other Xbox games? We barely played any.
We played Gears of War, and that wasn't good. Like you started, you know, the tutorial thing. It was just the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like shooting bottles and
shooting bottles. That's the other thing, is that it's not accessible unless you're going to sit down and play with someone
but
for like
it was
a couple
accessible
hours.
I mean, like, I've played shooters before. I've played, like, that thing was not, like, the tutorial was just retarded.
Yeah, I mean, really. The actual tutorial was bad because the fun parts of the game weren't covered at all in that whole beginning section. So that's another game that I totally lost the audience. It's pretty hard to demo a game. You got to kind of sell it, you know? And you have to have the right mood for it and stuff like that. And we also played Explosion Man, which Guillaume is a savant at Explosion Man, I suppose.
Yeah, I amazed the developers of the game when I played the sequel at E3. Like, they were just like, have you never played this game before? You've never played the first one? And I was just, I was just like, I kept playing, and it was just like, I winked at him, like, with girls at my side, and I was like, yeah.
It was actually pretty impressive. Like, sections that took us all four together, which is harder, but they took all four of us like 30 minutes to pass just one small room, and Guillaume and I did it in like 10 seconds without even practicing.
Yeah, no, like Explosion Man, it's one of the games that make me want a 360. Not Gears of War, though. Fuck that
Explosion
game.
Man is probably my favorite 360 game. But I will defend Gears of War because it's pretty fun once you actually get into it. It's totally linear, but it's like, it still has some strategy and stuff like that when you actually fight enemies that aren't beer bottles and things like that lined up. But and Halo is pretty fun too, which we didn't play. And I forgot to play Geometry Wars Evolved, which has four players. I thought that might have been kind of fun because there's a lot of different modes and stuff like that. But I forgot to mention it.
Oh, man.
I want to say that Guy talks himself down a lot with video games, but he played that one Pac-Man game. And it like blew my mind.
He has like the world championship on he had the world championship on that game on PSN for like a long time. I don't know if he still has it. Do you still have it?
Yeah,
it
was crazy. It was just like one mode of one level that I did really well at. Like there's like Canon J on the Negative World board. Like he's got most of my scores beaten. Like he's really good. But he's also like he's got the top scores on the BitTrip games and everything. He really likes those arcade games.
Yeah,
but go ahead.
Oh, is he a fiercer competitor than you? You were actually mentioned on the Radio Free Nintendo podcast as somebody who's like you were on their friends list or something, and they said your score was just unbeatable, and they were just kind of carping about it.
Like, yeah, I think they use the term ridiculous. But since then, like he's it was Greg, right? Like he's beaten some of my scores. So I need to get back into that game and really kick some asses.
Yeah, actually, the reason that Guy booted up that game was not for us all to play. He just wanted to show off, basically, I think.
Yeah, I just wanted to make myself feel better. But some of the PS3 games that we did play, Pixel Junk Eden, what did you think about that?
I was really looking, I've always wanted a PS3 just for the handful of exclusive games that aren't on 360. And the Pixel Junk games were some of them, and we played Pixel Junk Eden, which I really want to try because I felt like it was like Bionic. I thought it would be like Bionic Commando or something, except with flowers, I guess. And it was an interesting game. That was the exact opposite of accessibility in terms of controls. Like, it took me a long time to understand how the controls worked. And once I did, it was kind of interesting, but it seems like it would take a lot of time to get really good at that game. And yeah, I don't know, is it rewarding once you master it?
Well, it can be. Like, one of the things that, like, they added some patches that made things a lot smoother, because I think that when we played it, like, we could grab, like, I don't recall what they're called, let's call them, like, Bathmodads or something. There's five per level, and, like, that's what you're supposed to get. Like, you're supposed to get those five things in a level and then move on. But like originally you would get one and then you would get back to the beginning of the level and you'd have to do it all over again. And that was just like, yeah, that's terrible. And I eventually just like stopped playing because it was too bad, you know, too annoying. But yeah, apparently like it's been patched and maybe I should get back into it again. But yeah, it's not an accessible game, and like the whole thing is like climbing up, right? Like you have to swing around and like always make your way up and up and up. And when
that's
you fall
great,
down,
like I love Donkey Kong, King of Swing, and Jungle Climber and stuff like that. But Pixel Junk is pretty hard to play. Yeah.
When you fall down, like it's just like so crushing, and you have to make your way up all over again, and you've got a time
very
limit.
Very punitive, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, it's a fun game. Q Games, they make Star Fox. They're pretty cool. And they make the Pixel Junk games and
the art
like
style
them.
Games, some of them. Yeah, yep. They're a cool company. And we played Flower, which I'd never played, which I also wanted to play because I wanted to cry while I was playing a game, because I haven't cried since I was like 3 years old. And I didn't cry. It was all right. I thought that game, it was kind of neat, the sensation of flying around, but it was a little too demanding. It's like you had to get every single little petal in order to finish the level, and after a while I was just like, all right, you know. And we also played Little Big Planet, which we already talked about, which, I mean, it's an interesting game in co-op, I guess. Physics are kind of weird, but I like some of the mechanics in it. I don't know if I like the three-plane stuff and various things like that. And
yeah, that's a terrible idea. Like, the three-plane, like, it just ruins the game.
Yeah, what were you
saying? I was not impressed watching it at all. I did not see what the whole hubbub was about.
Well, you know, like when it first came out, people were like, oh, it's so beautiful, the graphics are so nice, but I don't really like the graphic style that much. It's a little too, like, realistic kind of claymation. I like Yoshi's Story a lot better, even though that's kind of the same, almost the same thing, but I just thought they did it a little more artfully for some reason.
And, like, usually, like, physics-based platformers or physics-based everything is just annoying as hell, you know? When
it usually is annoying.
The way you want.
Yeah. And like Havoc physics in general, specifically, they seem to slow down a lot of games, I've noticed, when they're included, you know?
Absolutely.
Whereas City Ransom is on the NES and it has just the best, most, you know, flexible physics system ever, which is awesome. You can just kick crates into people and insta-kill them once you eat enough pepper steak. It's so good. So the last game we played was, I think, Nobi Nobi Boy is the other game we played.
Oh, yeah, we played that, yeah. All right, what did you think of that?
I have to say, I kind of enjoyed it. Like, more than Flower and Pixel Junk Eden.
Okay,
what's
but did you notice?
I've never
like,
heard it.
What's that all about, Nobi Nobi Boy? It's a game where, like, Guillaume, you want to explain it?
Well, first, is like, it... you're describing it wrong. It's not a game. It's, like, more of a, you know, sandbox or something. I don't know. It's, like, kind of a toy. It's made by the guy who created Katamari Damashi. Yeah, a lunchbox, sure. But, yeah, like, the guy who made Katamari Damashi... like it's like the same kind of style, and you control like this little kind of worm thing that can eat stuff and poop stuff. And you know, like one analog stick controls one end, the other analog stick controls the other end. I'm not sure if and I never got that.
You have head control and ass control.
Yeah, basically. And so you go around like eating stuff and try to elongate.
Okay.
And or not, like, I don't know. Like, there's not really any point. If there is one, a point to the game, it's that, like, your progress is sent online, and every player of the game at the same, you know, like the length that they add is combined, and like you get to reach like another planet or something, and like new stages are unlocked. But other than that, like just like the stretching, that's the whole point of the game.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like that game was also not very accessible, but it was enjoyable somehow. It was just enjoyable just at how bizarre it was. Like I don't really like Katamari Damacy. Do you guys?
No, I love it.
Talk about Catherine demo?
No, we didn't talk about it yet.
Yes, favorite game ever.
I forgot about that actually.
I did. I thought you were gonna talk about it. I was gone. Wait,
Catherine. Catherine is your killer app. Pause. Is your killer app for the HD systems, isn't it?
It is. I was actually, so mad. Like when I love Atlas. Good. Like everything Atlas touches is gold.
Atlas is good.
Yes.
This is their first big HD game, and it actually did very well, so maybe there will be more Catherines in the future. So I think Rob's killer app is actually the Dakimakura that comes in the Catherine limited edition box.
Yeah. And, okay, now it makes sense. There.
that's a history killer app.
Because I didn't feel that you were enjoying the demo that much when we played it, no?
I like the story. I like the story. I would watch that if it were on a... Like, if you could buy anime? Adaptation or whatever. Like, I would watch it.
Actually, like a lot of good role-playing games or role-playing games that are supposed to be good get anime adaptations, which I guess are often supposed to be inferior, but I feel like it's such a better medium for telling a story than a role-playing game, which is like freaking like 100 hours and, you know, has 20 minutes of actual story development, you know? Like, have you guys ever watched any of those? Yeah, it always seemed like a very kind of like peanut butter and olive oil kind of combination to me. Just actually, olive oil goes with peanut butter. It helps emulsify it.
What?
Yeah.
What are you eating?
Okay, let's not get on that tangent.
Okay. No, but I mean, it always seemed like a very like odd kind of combination. Sort of like Professor Layden has story and puzzles, and I don't feel like they're smoothly integrated at all. Like a role-playing game is almost the same way for me. The Tales series does it a little better with the skits and stuff like that, but it's such kind of a weird discontinuity between the gameplay and the story of that, which is Catherine also has, which we played the Catherine demo, and we played that for Rob's benefit. And it's a combination of a puzzle game that's all about climbing, and story bits, which are kind of interactive, and you know, I thought the story bits were really interesting, but
it's Qbertian in nature too.
Yeah. And the puzzle game, I didn't think it held up to like Art Style Precipice, which I like better because it's more three-dimensional. Catherine is kind of like you're along a wall, at least for the demo portions, and I don't know, some people like it, but I didn't really care for the puzzle part that much. What did you guys think?
I would play that. I like the puzzle stuff.
Yeah, I thought the presentation was awesome. Yeah.
A lot has been said in other podcasts about Catherine, so I don't know what else to add. Like, everyone mentions how it's pretty cool to send a text message to your girlfriend.
That is
like,
cool.
You compose the message. Well, you know, like the sentences are already there, but I mean, you're still kind of making it up. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a cool game, cool demo. I'm not going to buy it.
you'll buy it when it's like $5. I'll buy it when it's 20 because I'm stupid. But you know, in conclusion, Nobu Nobu Boy is the best game on PlayStation 3, except for Buzz, which is the second best game of all time.
Excellent.
I brought Arkrise Fantasia.
Yeah, Rob brought a single player RPG for us to all play together.
I brought that for Guy to play when he woke up at 5 in the morning, and he could play until I woke up at noon. It'd be 7 hours a day. He could play 35 hours of it.
Actually, Guillaume brought some awesome handheld stuff that I'd never played before. Like, he had a PSP Go with a bunch of games, and he also had an iPhone, which I haven't really had that much time with iPhone games besides Angry Birds, which I don't like at all. And he had a game called Cut the Rope, which everyone always talks about, and I was like, all right, let's try this iPhone. And I have to say, it was pretty goddamn compelling. It sure killed the subway ride pretty easily. I enjoyed Cut the Rope. I didn't really play anything else, but Cut the Rope was great. And the PSP.
Well, you also
game...
played. Wait, on the iPhone, you also had Ghouls and Ghosts.
That's the other thing is that I like the Ghosts and Goblins series, just because mostly because of the music and art direction. Even though I can't get past the first level most of the time, they had that at Barcade also. They had the Ghosts and Goblins arcade machine. That's the only game that I did well at Barcade. But I just like the series and. you know, I never got to play Ultimate Ghouls and Goblins, I think it is, on the PSP, which I played on Guillaume's PSP, and that was pretty cool. And the iPhone has two like unique Ghosts and Goblins games somehow. So I got to play one of those also, and I guess Guillaume doesn't like it, but I mean, it's not the greatest game ever, but I thought it was kind of functional, even though it has a touchscreen controls or whatever. It's not
optimal.
Yeah,
the virtual D-pad and everything, and like I actually beat that game, you know, like I finished it. So like, what the hell? It took me like maybe an hour.
Oh.
It's not actually a Ghosts and Goblins, whatever. It's not a Ghosts and Goblins games, you know, like it's just like a big sham.
You know, the original name for Ghosts and Goblins is Dakimakura. Did you guys know that?
Shut up.
No, but it's actually close. It's Makai Makara, I think.
Awesome. Yeah,
still funny.
And
okay, well, since you obviously want to bring the conversation there, do you want to mention the trip that you guys, like, did you actually get one? Like, I wasn't there. I had to take my train.
Bob, 100%.
Anna got one. He got two. I definitely didn't get one.
Rob went crazy. Like just before he took his train, we ran to the Image Anime in New York, which is one of the only stores that had Dakimakuras. And Rob was just picking it out. They had wall scrolls and Dakimakuras, and he was just taking his time picking it out. He was really which surprised me. He was embarrassed about taking it on the train. I don't think he had any shame, but he like told them to wrap it up really tightly and stuff like that, so nobody would see it. But he definitely got a Dakimakura. But it's a small one though, right, Rob?
Yeah, I just wanted a case, the pillowcase. But
I've never
seen
that
pillow. Like, what do I do with this giant body pillow?
Well, that's what it is. I mean, like, what's the difference of having a pillowcase or an enclosed document?
A pillowcase you can fold up to put in your pocket.
It has like an escape button. So have you used the Dakimakura yet?
Oh, define used.
Oh,
what
God.
Does that mean, you sicko?
Okay, and for those who don't know, Dakimakuras are so called body pillows. Wait, did you guys mention that already?
Japanese hugging pillows.
No, we didn't mention that. And usually the front is like one picture of the front side, and the back is like the other side.
It's
right,
like, it's
the,
like a hot,
the other side of what? The back side? What?
Exactly, yes.
With her looking back at you invitingly.
Pretty
but
much.
It's just a pillow. It's just for display purposes. Trust me on that.
But that store was pretty cool. They had lots of figurines and stuff like that. We didn't have that much time in it.
Yeah. And if you look those things up on eBay, the Dakimakura, right?
Yep.
If you look that up, it's like they're like $120.
Oh, are they really? Everything in Japan is
they're
super
expensive.
It's the yen, dude. The yen is kicking our ass, and Nintendo is suffering for it.
And like it was $30 there. I was like, whoa, okay.
Nintendo, who we haven't discussed at all. We also went to a couple import video game stores. You guys want to mention those? One was in Chinatown. The other was Video Games New York.
Video Games New York had a really great selection if you have $1 million and you don't care, you know, about spending money. But I'm looking at my copy of Joe and Mac that I found for NES. It was $15. Unbelievable. We did Midtown Comics too, which is pretty big and huge and awesome.
Midtown Comics is huge. It was like two or three floors, right?
Gigantic.
It was nice.
Wait, was Guy there? Was Guy there then?
No, I wasn't.
No, he wasn't there.
That's the other day, right? Yeah, that was you guys were at Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, exactly. I was in the Dirty Island. So how was that?
Midtown Comics was
cool.
Yeah.
That's where I got these.
The Whopper Bar didn't happen. Rob really wanted to go to the Whopper Bar, the Burger King Whopper Bar.
Will you let Abdu talk for a second?
Oh, go ahead, Abdu.
That's all right. No, that's where I picked up what Guy got for the White Elephant.
That's true.
Yeah,
and Wei also got a White
Elephant.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Oh, I think Wei had picked up
Walking Dead.
CPA Wei. He picked up that Walking Dead trade paperback, which Mrs. Mustache loved. She threatened to hit somebody if they took it. When do you want to talk about White Elephant stuff? Did you want to do that now and just get it over with, or did you want to save it still?
We could do that, or we could jump back into the import video game store and just cover that. Let's go to White Elephant as long as we're talking about it. Go ahead.
Well, I did want to mention that I bought some imports. I'm sorry.
Okay. So go ahead. You can leave the conversation then.
Chancellor Guy, continue.
I got like a couple of Game Boy games, and I thought I was being smart about my purchases, but turns out that I really wasn't. I just got like a Tiny Toon game, which turned out to suck. But my reasoning was...
It was not from Treasure?
I don't think it is. Like, it's extremely short and easy, and it's Konami, but I don't know. Anyway, like, I beat it really quickly. It's a very basic, boring platformer. But, you know, the logic was that it was not going to come to the eShop, so I was safe by buying that. Right. At the same time, I bought Cat Trap. Or Cat Trap, I'm not sure. And, like, turns out that's been announced for, like, Europe pretty soon. And I must have paid, like, $7 or $10 for it.
How was it, though?
At Video Games. It's, I don't know, I think it's probably overrated. I had heard a lot of good about the, you know, like, it's a puzzle game. And there's, like, 80 puzzles or 100 puzzles. And mm-hmm. since, like, there's no memory or no password, like, you can access all of them at any time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you can just, like, you just have to remember, oh, okay, so I finished, like, puzzle 25. I'm Wrecking at 26 crew. Now. Yeah. And, but yeah, like, it's just kind of a little bit boring. And the animation is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, those little cat people, like, they, I don't know how they run. Like, they seem to, like, every step, like, their leg seems to go over their head.
Cat people are big in the 80s.
I don't know. It's really weird.
Well, actually, you know, you have to remember that the Game Boy things people remember fondly, they played probably when they were like 6 years old or something like that. Where's Mole Mania, by the way? Shouldn't that be on the VC by now?
I really hope so at some point. the other game, I got two other games. I got Jurassic Park, which really, really sucks. I should have expected it.
Is that by Ocean? That
yeah,
one, or is that
pretty much? It's pretty much the same as the NES game.
Okay,
but wasn't everything again, licensed by Ocean back in the day?
Yeah, I guess so.
Some stuff. RoboCop was.
LJN. So
that's about it.
Anyway, so, like, again, I was safe with that, but it still cost me $8 that I shouldn't have spent on a Jurassic Park game. And I also got, like, for that other place that was much cheaper, what was it called again? 8-bit?
8-bit and Up was the... I didn't buy anything there. You guys had your Street Fighter thing there, though.
8-bit and Up was awesome solely because they had the Street Fighter arcade machine where you could pay a dollar and you could just play as much as you want, like free play. So Wei and Guillaume and I were playing, and we just thought it was like a normal Street Fighter, but there's all this like crazy shit going on. You can do like infinite jumping. You can jump off the screen.
Yeah, it's like, the Rainbow Edition that came out, like, I don't know, some Asian country, like the ROM hack that made...
Yeah, it was like an
Capcom.
Unofficial ROM hack that was in China that Capcom released there as Street Fighter 2 Rainbow Edition, I guess, which some dude had won in a contest in a fighting tournament, and it was awesome. Yep. Like, I want it released in the home. It's so good. So basically, it's like everybody has a superpower, like... Ryu, he can throw like a super slow fireball. So technically, theoretically, you could just throw the fireball, then just like walk behind it and throw somebody while they're blocking. Like Dalsim is super fast. Ken has some kind of, what was Ken's thing? It was like just like I don't even.
You said endless endless kicks. You said.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. So Ken has the hurricane kick thing, which even if somebody is blocking, like he flies across the screen and it takes up half of their health bar while they're blocking. So Wei was actually playing like logically, and I just kept launching hurricane kicks at him from the other side of the screen and just breaking him down while he was blocking. It was awesome. It's the best game ever.
Like, and at some point, like the hurricane kick, like you could keep doing it and keep going up and up and up until you came back at the bottom of the screen and like just like looped that way. And when you stopped, like you looped back, like you fell like 3-4 times through the screen.
I know, it was so good. It was like the katana move in Mortal Kombat. It's such a good game. Like it really needs to be released. This is a piece of gaming history that should not go overlooked. I think, I feel. And if you guys are in New York, you should definitely check out 8-bit is Enough or 8-bit and Up. Whichever it's called.
And I got Bionic Commando there for the Game Boy Color. And again, it's one like the game has been announced for eShop for Europe. So,
it has?
Yeah. But I paid like a good price for it. Like it's not like Video Games New York. So like it was like $5, which is probably what's going to cost in the eShop at the very least. Yeah. So.
Well, Video Games New York was a really impressive store, though, in terms of selection. Like, they had an incredible amount of different systems, like legacy systems and archaic stuff.
They had, like,
never
every
seen.
System.
They
like,
had
any
everything.
System you were looking for.
And they had the most...
They had Jaguar stuff.
Yeah, and they had tons of import games and stuff like that. So, you know, a lot of the handheld systems are region-free. So, you know, if you want to pay $90 for, like, a copy of Ni No Kuni or something like that, go to Video Games New York. It was a pretty cool store, though. I like that place.
Yeah, we stayed a long time.
Best selection, I mean, out of anything we saw in terms of sheer girth and variety.
Girth. Well, once you hit the lotto, you can go back there and shop.
Yeah, maybe. What was that other store we went to?
Other store.
The store in Chinatown.
Chinatown. Nobody's gonna know the name of it. That's what
I know the name of it.
Yeah.
And there weren't like Charles was. Yeah, Charles was like disappointed because it didn't have as many imports as he remembered.
He said
it was just like yeah. So I don't know. It was all right. I bought a Game Boy there.
That's where Guillaume bought a Game Boy, yeah, which he didn't get to use on the trip for Four Swords. It's too bad.
Yeah, I had been hunting Gladius for GameCube for a long, long time. And everywhere I went, they didn't have it. And
how
I was
that
like,
hey. You must be the only person looking for it in the world.
Well, I'd always mention, they go, Gladius? For PlayStation? And I go, no, GameCube. And they go, oh.
But then I got here, three, like, I think, yeah.
And I was like, hey, do you guys have Gladius for GameCube? And he's like, this? And I'm like, that's it. And it had like bullet holes in it. Like,
what?
It was really weird. There's like bullet holes like through my through the packaging, through the case.
Gladius is
like,
street,
did you get
man.
The game at all? It was, you know, crazy. Actually,
you know what that might be? It might be the cutout thing. You know what's a weird sort of phenomenon? Have you guys noticed how games that don't sell very well become rare? Isn't that sort of counterintuitive? Do they all just get destroyed in a landfill somewhere?
Like E.T.?
Yes. No, E.T. is not rare. Atari. I actually had E.T. for Atari. And
I heard that they all got dumped in a landfill somewhere.
Not all of them. I mean, they didn't come to your house and take the ones you bought and do a recall and put in the landfill. But I actually bought it when, you know, towards the end of the Atari's life, they were having really real cutout sales on everything. And we bought E.T. and Spider-Man and stuff like that. And E.T. is not as bad as people think it is. It's actually kind of like Nobby Nobby Boy.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's actually a lot like Nobby Nobby Boy. Basically, you move around by extending...
You can't eat your own ass?
Well,
sorry.
given the graphics of the game, you might be able to. I mean, okay. that might be what he's doing, but it's hard to tell. But like, I mean, it's just kind of a weird Zen nothing game. But I think it's about on a par with Nobody Nobody Boy, which is the second best game on PlayStation 3. So it's not too bad.
But I thought the problem with ET was that the first jump that you had to make, you couldn't make. Isn't that the problem?
No, what happens is you're on an overworld, so it's kind of like, you're on an overworld, and you go find these pits to try to find gold or candy or something. You can't even tell what it is, it's just like a pixel. And then you
Reese's
drop into
pieces.
These pits. Yeah, Reese's Pieces, maybe. You drop into these pits, and you basically have to see if there's candy, and then get out of the pit by extending your neck, and then retracting, and then extending and retracting it, and that's like the whole game. But it's just kind of like, it's very unique. It's a very unique experience. I recommend everyone try it at least one time. Everyone is not old like me and actually played it back in the day. And Pac-Man 2600 was also not that bad because everyone sounded like a robot, and robots are cool.
Awesome.
At that store, I also picked up Xevious. You guys were talking about the 3D. I had never played it before.
That blows my mind.
Well, why would I play it? I mean, where would I have played it?
It's just such a classic game. It's on like every collection ever, isn't it? Namco's released it about a billion times.
I don't have collections, really.
The Namco ones? They're pretty good.
I own most of the games, like, already. I don't...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, so does that game end?
Yeah, it has an end. It has, like, 16 levels or something like that. But it's actually very... Did you guys get the Xevious on 3DS?
Hell no.
It's good. It's really good. Like, the 3D is good, and I'm kind of I like Xevious anyway. I like the music, which is, like, three notes repeated endlessly.
I don't
awesome.
Like the way that the enemies just flee from your fire. Like the what's
but
up with that?
It's so unique, isn't it?
I mean, it
had a very different feel than other games of the time, even though there's not that much graphical variety and stuff. But I think it might have adaptive like AI or difficulty or something, because it seems like some seemingly random things happen sometimes. Like if you're doing really well, there'll just be bullets that materialize out of the air and start shooting towards you. And I just think it's a pretty interesting game. And the 3DS version is really good. I'm not sure about Excitebike 3DS or Urban Champion 3DS, although Charles got it. but Xevious 3DS is pretty impressive, I thought. I thought it was worth the six bones or whatever it is.
Oh, God, so $6.
Is there a boss that you fight at all?
Yeah, have you gotten to that big... like a Konami, it's like a Gradius-looking boss, except it's top-down.
No, I played forever, too, like without dying. I was like, man, where's the end of this stage? And then I thought somebody on the boards was talking about like Akari Warriors and how it never, like it goes forever. I was like, man, it's like
Akari Warriors doesn't go forever either.
He said it went forever. I don't know, whatever. So no. I was playing forever, and I never reached the end, and I was doing really good. So I don't know what the deal is.
Xevious might loop, but I think there's 16 stages, and you should have seen that big boss. That's what I was saying. Like it sort of mixes stuff around. It sort of mixes stuff around. So I don't think each playthrough is different. That's what's kind of cool about it. And even the enemy behavior, there's an amazing amount of enemy variety for the time that game came out, you know? Like the amount of different enemies and different sort of AI patterns and bullet patterns and stuff. It's pretty impressive, I think. I don't know. We also played... I guess we didn't play Twin B, but Twin B kind of takes some cues from Xevious and the bombing and shooting thing.
Right.
Yeah, so should we discuss the actual tournament that we did have? The White Elephant tournament?
Wasn't that just like a buzz tournament? I can't remember.
It wasn't really a tournament. I had delusions of grandeur that would never materialize.
Rob wanted it to be like a multi-event, like 10-hour spanning thing.
It was going
to
be awesome.
He wanted it to be like the end of the wizard.
Yeah, basically he just wanted to he just wanted to play Wii Bowling until we were in retirement homes and then continue to
play
until we died.
Wii Bowling was just round one. Wii Bowling was just round one.
Wii Bowling takes fucking forever, dude. There's only four players at one time and you have to do 10 frames.
I know, and it was going to be awesome.
You know, that's actually an interesting distinction. I think Rob likes games that aren't direct competition, like Wii Bowling and, you know, like clean racing and racing games. For me, like...
Time trials, baby.
Time trials. Like, I enjoy time trials once in a while, but for me, like, the actual direct competition is everything for me. Like, I don't like bowling in real life either or golf, because you can't really affect someone else's ball. But croquet, you can. Or, you know, tennis, you can just slam it in their face. Like, I need to slam something in someone's face in order to enjoy something. So that's why Wii Bowling doesn't really do it for me. But geriatrics like it.
But yeah, in my perfect tournament world, I would have had Wii Bowling. Like, something simple that everybody's played. You know, like round one, and then whoever had the lowest score would have then picked first. And then you would have had to go down to a different game with nine people, you know, whether it be, I don't know, something else.
How long do you think the whole thing would have taken overall?
Well, I didn't expect it to have to be done in like 10 minutes. Like, I didn't think it was going to take, I don't know, I thought we had like a whole night devoted to it. There was also Bonkers Night, where everybody was going crazy, and Wei was going crazy with his maps.
Wei laid some maps on everybody.
It's okay. That was like his ultimate dream, it seemed. So I'm glad he got to realize that. It's okay.
No, but it was pretty cool. I'm very, very thankful. Like, he was giving out these super rare, North America anyway, super rare maps for Dragon Quest IX. Those allow you, like, there's this one which is legendary, which is there's one floor of a dungeon that has all Metal King slimes. It can make leveling up like super easy, super quick. Like, otherwise, like, you know, like, instead of taking you like 50 hours, it takes you 5. Like, it's
that legendary map which people used to gather in Japan to exchange and things like that.
Well, it is that map. Like, that's what he gave me. Yeah, and you know, like, I'm not sure exactly how it came over here. Like, some guy, like, went all the way to Arizona to go get the map from some other guy who had traveled from Japan. And
yeah, there's
I don't
a,
know, it
there,
made...
there's a Dragon Quest bar there.
Yeah, and basically, Wei got it at the Nintendo World Store, where there's like every Tuesday there's this kind of thing going on, to just exchange maps and everything. And like he was explaining that usually there's more than one map being traded at the time, because there's several people. But since he had to do it all by himself, like, he had to trade like 14 maps all by himself. So it was like one at a time. We had to, like, it took forever. That's true. But it was still a whole lot of fun. And I finished like maybe half of the maps.
Did you? A little bit
more than that. Yeah. And they're pretty cool. And if anyone is in Montreal and wants some maps, just ask me. I can pass them on. I can pay it forward. I've got
actually,
no problem with that.
If you guys want those, just call Wei and he'll fly over to Montreal and bring his DS and a copy of Dragon Quest. No, but you know, like, we also went to the Nintendo World Store, which is in New York, right? That was pretty cool. Like, New York in general, weren't you guys impressed at how many street passes we got?
It was all right.
I didn't get any.
He's gone to E3, so he's all like, I don't need street passes. Shit.
Yeah, no, but also, like, Montreal, like, when you take the subway, you just get so many street passes.
Oh, really? Because in Chicago, you don't get any.
Well, I don't know. Like, do you have... Well, I guess you must have a subway. You've got that tramway.
Yeah, right. The one that they use in the movies and destroy in every movie, elevated trains.
Yeah. So. But, Yeah, no, like there's tons of street passes to be had in Montreal. I'm just saying.
Well, I was pretty impressed, and Nintendo World Store had a lot of street passes specifically in there. What did you guys think of the store overall?
It was pretty cool. I was hoping that those giant like AR cards that they had on the ground would be actually usable, but
they weren't usable.
Maybe for Rob, like I wasn't tall enough. Like you couldn't get like the whole thing.
Yeah.
You couldn't get the whole thing in the shot. So like you couldn't make like the characters appear or anything.
Did you go to the second floor maybe or something or on the stairs?
Yeah, but you can't, like there's no angle. Like yeah, there was no.
Okay.
So that was a disappointment. And like the one
that's weird.
Shirt, the one
if,
good
if
shirt
it's
that
actually what's that noise?
It's you.
I was saying, if it's actually like a hype based thing that you think it messed up, isn't that weird having it at a store where it's filled with kids?
I don't know. Maybe there's some like secret way to do it. Maybe you have to have some secret vantage point from an opposing building and use binoculars or something like that. Some kind of special camera attachment. But you know, did you guys order that thing from the Club Nintendo? Did you order the life size
like the giant card? No.
Yeah. No, you didn't order it. I ordered it, but I haven't used it yet.
Oh, okay. No, I figured that maybe like if they had put those posters on the walls, like that would have been like that would have worked. Like you could get away from them and actually.
Yeah, but then everyone would be standing like with their heads facing, standing on the wall, right?
Right.
Well, sure. How is that not fun? But anyway, like the Nintendo World Store was cool, but like the one shirt that I wanted had like the stupid caption on it, like the Metroid shirt. Like that's how I roll. That
was terrible. Both of us wanted the same shirt, and both of us put it down because of the stupid caption. It's like "Roll with it, baby," or something.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Like hanging there, baby. Yeah, it was pretty terrible. Yeah,
but
sweet Luigi shirt there. That was cool. I like
they had booze. That was fun. Like
they had booze. I didn't see any booze there.
Seriously,
you could find booze anywhere, Guillaume. You probably hide in like the toilet tank and stuff like that.
He's talking about the ghosts from Mario.
Oh, the ghosts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Guy, every time you mention booze, everyone just thinks the worst. We saw the real you.
Canadians and booze, man. It's a dangerous combination.
Good lord.
That's when Guy's personality comes out. He's like, let me take a sip. All right, you effers. Get out of my way.
the passive falls out of the passive aggressive equation.
That's yeah, good, pretty man. Much.
Here comes, all here right, comes
let's change topics here. This is my podcast.
Hey, let Abdu pick something.
Yeah, Abdu.
Let him pick the next topic and let him talk for 10
hours. Let's talk about the Mets game for 6 hours.
That's awesome.
Nah, that was awesome.
I don't
know.
Like it?
Hell yeah, that was awesome.
I felt bad. I felt bad that the other guys didn't like it as much as we did. Wow. It's a shame.
I liked it.
That's bound to happen. Guy was so excited when we got there. He was like an 8-year-old boy. But then leaving, he was like a 60-year-old man.
I was poisoning his mind the whole time. I was like Iago whispering in his ear.
Is that why? Just, we were gone forever getting hot dogs and ice cream. And then we came back and he's like, I want to go right now.
You guys were gone for like, 45 minutes, an hour. I don't know.
And you came back with melted ice cream, which apparently wasn't melted but was never formed in the first place.
Oh, it was so frustrating.
Guy.
Came back
that
with
poor cream. Guy behind that counter.
Yeah.
So that's basically when like the game started to get a little bit long, when you left us to our own devices, just like Anand and Jargon and Miss Jargon and I.
No, like, she wasn't there. She was with us.
Oh yeah, she was with you. He was messaging her.
All right. Well, yeah. All right. It's all Jargon, Anand, and me. But yeah,
well,
like
I
the game
back.
Started.
I was going to say, I came back after that, and you're like, I think we want to go. And I immediately thought, that damn Anand.
It was me. It was totally me. 100%.
I knew what you did. I knew what you did. I knew it.
Dude, like, first of all, it was almost 12 o'clock. First of all, that was the...
No,
that
it
was
wasn't.
It was like 11:30. That was the one day that all nine of us were in the same apartment, you know?
We got
that was,
home at 12.
We got I know, home at 12 but that's because you caught some kind of like super bullet train back to the apartment, and we got
you guys,
mired.
You guys left at 10:45.
We got mired in roaming charges.
Yeah, no, it turned out to be like more like $40, not $200 like I feared. Yeah,
that's not as good of a story. Guillaume thought he owed $250, $240 in roaming charges.
Yeah, because of the GPS thing.
Because
we used
the GPS on the way back. But yeah, no, the thing about baseball is I could have sworn I've been to baseball games before. I've never seen one that was dragged out so much. Like, they were just like shooting the shit and playing catch between each single throw. It was crazy.
That game was right on time as far as other ones go. They're all like 3 hours, man.
Oh my god, no, it was so much longer. Plus it was rain delayed for an hour and a half.
Well, we had the rain delay. You can't incorporate that. That doesn't count as part of the game time.
It counts, dude.
It might count as long as you're there, I guess. But I mean, whatever.
And that was a normal. That was the first drop, and he was like, "Let's get out of here."
It's like we just got in, and they're not even here yet. Like, we haven't even met the other guys yet. City Field looked cool. I liked it. It was a cool stadium. It was fun for what it was. Nathan's hot dogs were not as good as advertised, and very thin.
Nathan's hot dogs were expensive. Totally awful, expensive, and it was like 100% bun. And they were just awful. And I went to this place after you guys left. I went to the best place in New York multiple times called Criff Dogs, which we passed right by because we only went to 3 places 8 times. And it's so good, dude. Like, all their hot dogs are deep fried and they're crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside, and they have like 30 toppings. It's just, it was one of the best things I've ever had. Amazing. So much better than Nathan's. Nathan's is garbage. Don't eat there,
people. Speaking of fried, do you remember the fried dough?
Yeah, that was good. It was molten hot.
Right, yeah. That you get fried dough like that everywhere. But you guys,
that's what the whole baseball thing was. I mean, it was no, we had it. It was basically just like any festival food, which is always pretty good. Like, we got kettle corn.
Yeah. Somebody there hadn't had it before.
I don't
fried
know,
like, dough, and it blew my mind. Like, how have you not had fried dough?
Every culture has their own version of fried dough, but we can save that for the food cast, I guess.
I don't know.
So what didn't we cover so far?
Anything? The Barcade.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. We didn't finish our White Elephant stuff either.
Okay, finish it. Finish it right now. In 30 seconds.
You got a Galaga shirt.
I got a Galaga shirt. That was awesome.
I got sweet Nintendo pins that I stole from my wife from E3, which I really liked. And that somebody else got patches. Yeah, she got them
and
from
me. I ended up with Pokemon stickers for my GameCube.
Oh yeah, no, there was something else, because you know how I picked those prizes just by like rooting around in all of my old video game shit, and it's like all unopened, and I'm like, what is so shitty that I don't even want to keep my pile of shit?
Poor Dave, the most generous guy ever, and he gets the worst gift.
No, but there was something else. It was a Pokemon sticker plus something, right?
It's some import game somebody got.
Oh yeah, that was also mine. It's called Kaijin Zona, which is like this Game Boy game from Nintendo published, which on the cover is just this like guy with a crazy hairdo and a guitar, and I have no idea how it's played, and I just couldn't believe it was Nintendo, so I bought it for like $1 from PlayAsia. And Rob's gift was awesome.
I gave two things. I gave two different gifts, and I can only remember the first one right now. The first one was this is my A gift. It was a Kickle Cubicle, which is the B side of that. But the main thing in that was the a thing of sauce from Ricky's, which our own Billy Mitchell owns, straight from Miami.
I was so excited for that. I would have totally gone for that.
You stole it?
Oh, because the Galaga shirt was in play also.
Oh, you stole the Galaga shirt.
Yeah, I did steal
the Galaga. What was my other gift?
What was your other gift? You know,
the Mario Kart poster?
Was it?
No, that was Nikki. Mrs. Mustache. Yeah.
Okay.
Are we calling her Nikki now? That was Nikki's. Whatever.
The in joke now. Here is that Rob looks like he's like a 99% match for Billy Mitchell.
Yeah. Like, if I had my American flag tie.
Exactly. On a DNA test, he'd be a 99% match, and the other 1% would be Tom Cruise from Last Samurai.
I have no idea what my other gift is. What is it? Oh! It was the soundtrack for Fragile Dreams there.
Oh yeah, was it just that? It seemed like your gifts were almost more than $10.
Well, I checked it out online and I read somewhere that it was like 12. I got it for free from GameStop, but I looked like on eBay and it was like 12 something. I'm like, whoa! And then I went somewhere else and like on PlayAsia it was like $33. I'm like, what in the world? So I'm like, okay, this will pass as a $10 gift. So that was that.
Cheated. The Galaga shirt was pretty sweet.
Yeah, that was a cool shirt. And for some reason, like right before we left for the trip, everyone was going Fragile crazy on the board for a week. So I was like, oh, this will be cool.
Who was going Fragile crazy?
Everyone. No, Paleo was. And I maybe it was just him.
I actually bought Fragile like a week before the trip. There's not a single chance in hell that I will ever play that game. Like, when Guillaume was talking about the Game Boy games that he bought, and he's like, yeah, this game was like this, and this game was like that, I was like, you can actually play the games that you buy. it was just blowing my mind. Like, he had already played them to completion. That's crazy.
Well, no. Only Tiny Toons I played to completion, and the other ones I just checked out.
Okay.
But yeah, sure.
Even that's something. Like usually I don't play that many video games, except my nephew's been over since I came back, and he plays Burnout Paradise for like 16 hours a day. so that's what I've been doing since I came back.
That was all White Elephant stuff, though. I think we got all of it.
Yeah, and I wore my Galaga shirt to the Barcade that we went to in Brooklyn.
Yes. Hey, let's talk about Barcade. We're trying to talk about it 8 times.
Yeah, I think we're already talking about it.
All right, so Barcade, they had Punch-Out. That was
they did
cool.
have the original
so
Punch-Out.
So hard.
It wasn't that you were really bad at that for some reason.
I stunk at it. I'm pretty good at Super Punch-Out and Punch-Out for Wii and Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
It was pretty similar, wasn't it? It's built on the same theories and stuff like that. I kind of wish
so
they had an arm wrestling
though.
Game. Yeah, it was difficult. Plus, the button was really unresponsive.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Some of you guys got the bald bull, and you were like the coolest dudes ever. It's like, holy cow, how'd you do that?
Like, you got KO'd by bald. I almost beat bald bull, too. It was weird.
So hard.
And
you were amazing at Donkey Kong. What's up with that?
Was I really amazing at Donkey Kong? I feel like I'm the only one who actually played it back in the day. And that machine was weird, because it just kept looping the first two stages, which is annoying. Because,
really?
Yeah, like I'm fated never to play the custard stage again, since Nintendo keeps leaving. Isn't it the craziest? Oh, you said there's a reason that Nintendo hasn't released the arcade Donkey Kong, right? It was programmed by somebody else or something?
There's like a cement
that?
Mixer
sure.
Yeah,
stage, isn't
I thought Guillaume said that. There's one missing stage in the NES version that they keep releasing, and they have multiple arcade. They have like a virtual console arcade service on which
yeah.
Donkey Kong is not, you know, like their first biggest game of all time or whatever. And
yeah,
it's a
I know,
fun
but
game still, I think. Yeah.
Also, like, the Europeans got, like, the NES version reworked to include the missing level.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but they got it, like, it was in the Red Wii.
That's pretty fascinating. Actually, Rare on Donkey Kong 64 had a fully playable, full arcade version of Donkey Kong. I think they just went in and reverse engineered it, which, why can't Nintendo, like, hire some intern to reverse engineer Donkey Kong? It seems crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. What else did we play?
Just
we played Joust. Oh,
Joust. Yeah,
Joust is pretty good. We had the high scores for the day on Joust.
Yeah, so the way Barcade was set up, it had the high scores, like the all time high scores, on a like a chalkboard or some kind of whiteboard on top. Yeah, chalkboard, I think. And you could just you could get beer there and possibly some food, and they just had a bunch of retro arcade machines, some pretty rare stuff like Marble Madness, stuff you don't see every day. It was a pretty cool place overall.
Marble Madness with a trackball, too.
Yeah. Marble Madness is always with a trackball in the arcade.
I only played it on NES. I was surprised. I didn't even know it was an arcade game.
Really? That's like.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's one of the first big trackball. It was one of the big trackball games of the time. And Rob was crouching the whole time because he's like 7 feet tall.
Well, I'm 6'3" for. let's keep it true here, Mr. Honesty. While we're on the topic of trackball, Nikki is a trackball savant.
Oh my god, that was amazing. It's like first time she played what, Crystal Castles?
Crystal Castles, first time she ever played it. She got like the number 4 score. Like, I don't know if they reset the scores in that machine either.
It doesn't even matter. That game was ridiculous. Like, I couldn't even follow what was going on.
I played right before that, and I was ranked like 250, and Wei was playing with me, and he was like 180, and then she comes in, she's like number 4. Four! That's single digits!
But how would you have ranked if you were allowed to substitute an NES D-pad for the trackball?
That game was going way too fast for a D-pad, though.
Oh my god, it was crazy.
It's crazy fast. It's some weird rules, too.
That's
I had no idea
like,
what was going on. I didn't play
yeah, she,
it.
How much
she
did
grew
you guys
up playing Millipede.
Through?
Yeah.
What up, dude?
How much money did you guys blow through?
Not that much for me.
Well, Guy and I beat Smash TV. We put a lot of money in that.
Yeah,
when
Mr. Honesty, it was like the first level, really.
What? Shh, quiet.
Yeah, we beat one boss and said, that's enough.
Oh, yeah. So hard. We spent like $6 on that, probably. I played Arcade Contra for the first time.
It sucked, and, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's not as good as NES.
But people say the arcade, the sequel is good, and the arcade sequel is good, I think.
We'll never play it.
Not
but it. Yeah, like the biggest mistake was Smash TV, the biggest mistake of the night. But
because it
was
just 8
because it
quarter?
Just cost so much. What else did I play that I really like? Now I can't remember.
Well, you know, the whole thing about trackballs and stuff like that is that it's something that's really hard to replicate at home. you know? I don't even know if a trackball was ever released for a home console, but those are the kind of games that you need to go to an arcade to play, you know? Even though a lot of the... I would estimate 90% of the games at the barcade we had in compilation form back at the apartment.
Well, yeah, we were playing Joust the night before, I think, right?
And we were playing three-player Rampart. But, you know, the real Rampart has trackball. That's why I
started controlling.
Yeah. It's totally trackball.
Wow.
It's crazy. So you shoot the cannons with the trackball and stuff.
We played Asteroids on the crazy vector graphics thing.
Yeah,
Asteroids. I liked Asteroids.
Cool, yeah.
I was blowing Way's mind with some crazy moves, I guess.
Did you guys play Berserk? I love Berserk. It's like
Play it, and I was not impressed.
Really? But it gets pretty intense, like really intense, because it's so weird. Like, it's like Spelunker. Your character is so vulnerable. He moves so slow, and the robot starts slow, but after a while, they're just like, they basically move at light speed, and you have to kill them with your slow character. It's like an interesting challenge to me.
Whatever. We played some fast Miss Pac-Man.
Oh, that was awesome.
I totally thought that I was finally going to have like the top score for, you know, between all of us. Like, Anand beat me at Donkey Kong easily and everything. But I thought Miss Pac-Man, I faced Mr. Mustache, and like he died like really quickly on the first board. I was yes. But then like completely made up for it. Like just a huge comeback. I don't know how that happened. But yeah,
you thought your Pac-Man Championship Edition skills would transfer over smoothly?
Yeah, like right when we came back that night, that's when I broke out. Pac-Man Championship and just blew my mind.
That's when Guillaume masturbated in front of us in video game terms, and also another term.
While getting hammered.
While getting hammered.
that was really impressive.
And cursing up a blue storm.
But you guys, like, you played arcade games before. I've barely, like, well, you know, I've told you guys, like,
only
at the Western Festival for, like, 2 days in the year. Not
you
enough.
Gunsmoke, Wild Gunman?
Not even, like, they were just, like, whatever was popular that day, you know, like Mortal Kombat or...
Mortal Kombat.
Basically.
I feel bad for Abdu. He didn't get to do a lot of stuff that we were supposed to.
Well, that's because he was at the Mets game for, like, 8 hours.
No, it's a different day. No, we went to Barcade the day later. No, and we were supposed to go to karaoke too with Abdu, and he didn't get to go.
He kept telling you he didn't care about.
No, he was just saying that because he didn't want to be like Guy and whip it out in front of us. It's cool. Like he was gonna sing "Shining Star" or something by Earth, Wind, and Fire, and he's gonna blow the doors off the place.
He was going to blow the door off the place.
That is on the to-do list for next time.
We also went to a Japanese-style karaoke place, which was actually a Korean karaoke place. It had individual rooms, and there was tons of echo on everything. And I thought that was pretty fun. They had, like, lasers in there. And while you were singing, they'd play these totally unrelated Korean videos. So you'd finish singing, like, a happy song, and there'd be, like, some dude putting a gun in his mouth in slow motion. Like in Black.
Yeah, that was on the Spice Girls one, actually.
Spice Girls.
I was like, what is that about?
I know, it was awesome. I thought that was pretty fun.
It was very upsetting. And if I had an award to give out for most surprising song selection, it would easily go to Way.
Way!
he pulled out that Savage Garden song and totally crushed it. I was like, what the heck?
Yeah, Wei and Charles were really stand-up hosts, I have to say. Like,
A-plus,
they took us around. Wei was driving us around, like, to various places of ill repute. And and Charles took us on an ice cream tour of the city, took us to Chinatown. They were very good hosts. And I just want to say thanks to those guys.
Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you.
And the ice cream was good too. I'm an ice creamaholic.
So we had multiple great ice creams, I thought.
Yeah, Nikki prefers the Earl Grey stuff she had at that one place.
Oh, man, I can't remember
any places.
I've got the card somewhere, I think.
You do? You can post them with them. You can do special things to everybody. And we did the other place in Koreatown with the build your own frozen yogurt thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But like that was frozen awesome. Yogurt. Yeah, but it was kind of liquidy, though, no? Like, it was almost already melted.
Mine was good.
Yeah.
It was cool. Where else can you have, like, a banana chocolate fusion thing with, I had, like, chocolate sprinkles and Fruity Pebbles in it. Like, that's awesome. You can't order that.
Amazing.
I guess you gotta build it, man. You gotta build it. So, Abdu, next time we go somewhere, you gotta stay, like, 10 days. I feel bad you missed everything.
Yeah. You have to stay longer. We'll have daily arm wrestling tournaments and white elephant contests, and the gifts will just get shittier and shittier.
I'll be sure to stay more than one night.
Yeah. Well, you were supposed to go from the beginning, and you know stuff came up, and that happens. More important things. But
well, Abdu has responsibilities and stuff. He's not like
right. Yeah.
But there were a lot of people there. Like when we came back, like we posted the pictures and everything, and everyone was excited. And now everyone is like, "Oh, do we have really to wait for like next year before we can do one of these things?"
Yeah, and, you guys have to wait until next year before you say you're going to go and then back out at the last minute.
Yes. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. No, but I feel that like it was really like circumstances that prevented a lot of people from joining in, and perhaps like they really did think that we were all perhaps creeps, and they wanted to make sure that everyone came back alive.
I thought a lot of people were gun shy on it, and like you said, they thought we'd probably be really creepy, or oh, they're gonna try to you know rob us, or they won't really be there, or they're gonna no show or something. But as soon as we got back, there's like an overwhelming amount of people who were like, "Yeah, where are we going?" Like, I'll definitely be. Like, Alaska Gamer is going to come from Alaska? I don't think it was that good.
He's going to change his name to New York Gamer temporarily.
It was cool. It was cool. Now, I look forward to the next one, wherever it is. I'll be there for sure.
And no one, like, lost anything or, like, nothing got stolen. I was kind of worried about that, you know? Like, it's easy to lose electronics or, like, discs, you know? Like, it would have been easy for someone to just, like, swipe a disc or something. But
I thought somebody did lose something.
Yeah, Guillaume actually tried to steal one of my nunchucks, but
hey, that's not true.
End of the trip. Yeah, it's, aside from being raped in the airport on the way back, it was a really good trip.
Oh God,
he wasn't actually raped.
That really happened.
Yeah, it was horrible. He was like feeling me up, and not only one time. He would go over the same area like three times. I was like, you know, there wasn't anything the last two times.
So don't you wish you had gotten the radiations?
No, instead? Fuck radiation. I don't want to be irradiated. It's like such a horrible choice, but I am pro-profiling still. Yeah. But not at airports, on planes, like in crisis situations.
Oh, okay. All right, so like everyone had a pretty good experience, I guess, and like I don't know, like how do we finish this podcast? Like
how do we finish this podcast? We just keep rambling until like nobody can think of anything to say. Isn't that the way?
Well, I'm not sure if anyone like other than us are gonna get anything out of this.
How about this? Let's each name our favorite things. I guess least favorite would be too bitchy.
Okay, Mets sure.
Let's game.
Shut up.
About what? Favorite things about what? New York?
Yeah. Favorite things from the trip.
I'm going to do my least favorite. My least favorite, even though you told me not to, I'm going to do it. Lack of Whopper. Whopper pizza at the Whopper bar. It's horrible.
That was all you, man. That was all planning. Like,
so
we did,
frustrating.
You know what was the worst thing about the whole trip? Zero prior planning and like actual like just going to Google Maps and putting everything in and calling and making sure places still existed and stuff.
Like, we joked about this over and over and over again. Like, we should have taken, like, a giant map of the city with little, you know, pins.
Thumbtacks.
Like, when they're looking for a serial killer. And, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, and mark our path. And it's going to look like, you know, a shoe with shoelaces. Like, we were just at the same places over and over and over and over again. And then in a bow, you know, at the end.
It'll just
like,
be a
every
circle.
Day we walked by Carnegie Hall three different days.
I know. Every day. We went by Carnegie Hall every day. You just didn't notice the other time.
And my favorite thing, original soup man, lobster bisque. Delicious.
Oh, yeah.
That place was good.
So good. Who called me? Somebody, Jargon called me and almost got me booted out of line. I can't believe that almost happened.
Oh my god, like yeah, Rob, he had seen that Seinfeld episode, and he was all like geared up to do it perfectly correctly and everything, and then he ordered his thing, and then he took a phone call like right when the guy was standing there, and the guy was telling him about fruit or bread or something, and then he just shook his head and like walked away. If the real soup man was there, you would have been your ass would have been kicked out, and you would never have had lobster bisque.
I know, it would have been awful.
He was not present. That would have been so funny. That would have been even better than Lovelore.
But they don't just give you soup there. Like, you just think you're just getting a bowl of soup. You get a piece of bread, which you see from Seinfeld. Yeah. But you also get a banana or another piece of fruit and candy. Like, that's a whole meal.
To be correct, you got the piece of fruit, the last piece of fruit.
None of us did.
Oh, I earned it. I earned it.
You did earn it by taking that phone call when he was offering it to you.
All right. So, yeah, I guess that's my top and bottom there. Nikki liked the Earl Grey ice cream. That was her favorite. And her least favorite thing, probably the Chinese food. We're food people.
I see.
Everyone's food.
We like food.
We are carbon-based life forms.
Oh, the pastrami thing. That's her least favorite for sure. Sorry.
All right. Abdu, what was your best favorite and least favorite things?
All right. Well, starting off, my least favorite was the loss of a Galaga shirt.
I stole it from him.
That's terrible.
And probably my favorite was, it was probably a tie between, you know, just hanging out with you guys at the Mets game.
I knew someone was going to say
what
that.
What a guy. What a guy.
He's a great guy.
Or, you know, late night playing games, most notably the Four Swords game. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty fun.
I missed that.
I'd never played Four Swords GBA before. It's pretty enjoyable. How much did we play through? Like, we got to the first boss or something?
Yeah, I think it was like the first area, but I'd never played that one. I've played every single Zelda except for that one, and it was fantastic.
My dream was to play through it four times and unlock the secret dungeon in the single player game, but that was never gonna happen. But yeah, all right,
and I guess. You kind of stole my answer. Like, the soup man was ridiculously good.
Oh, no.
Wait, the Taiwanese place that Charles brought us to, and by us, I mean not you guys. I gotta rub it in a bit. Like, it was amazing.
Oh, you bastard, you had Vietnamese food. I forgot about that. I wanted to get that.
Yeah, like, it was amazing. Like, so refreshing, you know, like the salad and the mango and everything, and like, just like pieces of beef in it, like just so delicious.
Oh, I love beef. I would say my favorite things were playing WarioWare, probably playing Buzz, and the karaoke place.
Yeah, those were really fun. All three of those things.
Those are pretty fun. And
you forgot Jekyll and Hyde.
you forgot Jekyll and Hyde.
I did.
Yeah.
Then Guy got tanked again. The sixth time. Sixth time in 5 days.
He got tanked on a $23 drink, on one $23 drink.
Yeah, was it good though, Guy?
It was all right.
Okay.
that will have to do. I'm sorry.
That burger tasted like steak. It was awesome. It was really good.
Those wings were pretty nasty. All I had was just a bit of sauce.
Sorry.
That's all right.
It was a neat place.
Enjoyed somehow this podcast, this very self-indulgent episode of the Negative World Podcast. Please tell your friends and your mom, your dad, and all of your siblings, and make sure that they listen too. And I don't know, you might also want to check out the Facebook page. Just look for Negative World on Facebook. You can also check out the Twitter feed. It's negative_world on Twitter. And, of course, you can also come to the forums. Why? There's no S there. There's just the one forum on negativeworld.org. And perhaps if we like you enough, we'll let you hang out with us in Montreal next year. but that really remains... That really remains to be seen. Yeah, we'll go to Pied de Cochon where we'll have a foie gras poutine. It will be amazing, I promise. We'll probably go...
They should combine the foie gras with poutine. That's pretty awesome.
Well, if that's what you want. I've never had the poutine there, actually. It doesn't sound that appealing. Anyway, we also like go karaoke-ing and stuff.
Yes.
Japan style. Yes. And so, yeah, so just, you know, don't be a stranger and come to Negative World. What else do I say usually? Oh, yeah, you might want to rate us on iTunes. Give us 5 stars because that's what we deserve, no less. And you can also review us. I haven't checked the reviews in a long time. I wonder if anyone has reviewed us ever, actually. So I'm going to do that.
Please don't disappoint me. Did you guys?
I haven't. I don't feel like I should be reviewing it, though. I would probably be like super critical and stuff.
Oh, that's true. You shouldn't review it. Game would be like 1 star.
I'm sick of this guy, the host. And yeah, so thank you guys for being here doing this podcast.
It was lovely. Yeah, thank you.
Let me say one thing really quick about the forum. We're actually just starting up some Mario Kart League stuff officially after a long time of not doing anything really organized. So if you're out there listening and you want to play some Mario Kart with some cool dudes, swing on by for that. And we're also getting a fantasy football league going with a couple guys here. We have room for 10 more if you want to hop in. And we're potentially playing for virtual console or eShop downloads. So you want to win some games? Come do it.
Wow, that's amazing. Aren't we full for the Mario Kart League, though? Kinda?
We can have 2 leagues. We can have bikes or in one, carts in the other. Split it off somehow.
You can do no weapons. Oh, wait, no, you can't.
We can shuffle week to week. I don't know. We can make it work. It'll work. It'll work. It'll be good.
Cool. And speaking of the site, like if you don't want to sign up, you can still check out like the reviews that we post on the site. Gargoyle's Quest, Nintendo Plus Cat review, a late review that really shows... well, actually, you know, Casper actually played the game the way it was meant to be played, so it's the best review ever. Steel Diver, like if the people who just got a 3DS are gravitating towards Steel Diver, you know, wondering if it's worthy of all the hype it's been getting. Just get it straight from our reviews and stuff. So yeah, just before you Mustache interjected.
I'm sorry.
No, it's cool. I completely lost my train of thought. All right, and thank you all of you guys out there listening to this for bearing with us. You know, we'll be back to a more regular episode, you know, in 2 weeks, hopefully. Anyway, so see you and goodbye.
I know Anand's got a Jeopardy story that we're so eager to hear.
Which story is that? Oh, you mean Jeopardy?
Yes, Jeopardy.
Did you guys used to watch Jeopardy back in the day?
I watch Jeopardy weekly.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Isn't it on daily?
the missus and I. Yeah. Yeah. I watch it every week daily. Yes. We keep track of what we get. So I'm up on all this current stuff.
You
know?
Okay.
And all the Bible questions.
You do know everything, including the Bible questions, which are also bullshit. No offense. Judeo-Christian system, which this whole country is built upon. But yeah, like... but like... So I was at college at U of I, and they had a Jeopardy trial, and I assumed it was college Jeopardy, which is a lot easier than normal Jeopardy. And so my sister is also a big Jeopardy fan, so she came down, and we were going to try out for – or she was going to watch me try out for college Jeopardy because she was already out of college or something like that. So she came down, and we entered the room, and it was like real Jeopardy. And we're like, oh, that's interesting. So we went and tried out, and there were 10 questions, and we had to get – like they had raised the stakes from the last time. Previously, you only had to get 5. Now you had to get like 7 or 8 in order to pass to the next round in Chicago. And so – I got 6, I think. I was so ashamed. I was so ashamed because I missed 2 questions that I totally should have known. And my sister got 7. So she got the slip to go to the next round of Chicago, and I was just so pissed. And so I went to Office Max, and I made a photocopy of the thing, and I got a pen that was exactly the same color by opening up the pens in the store. And I forged the signature, and her name is almost the same as my name. So I forged the signature, and then I went with her to Chicago, and we were like prepping, you know, like how I was gonna bluff my way in. And so she went first, and they're like, "All right, you're on the list, go on in." And I went afterward, and I gave them my slip, and I just tried to play it real cool, you know. And they're like, "Oh, I don't see you on the list." And I said, "Oh, really? That's strange. I mean, my sister almost has the same name as me. Maybe that's the problem." They're like, "All right, go on in." And I was like, "Yes." And then there was another level, which is 50 questions, and we had to get 33. And both my sister and I got like 31, and we should have sat next to each other and totally cheated, because after that was the round where they do like a practice round just to see if you're, you know, too crazy to go on TV or something, which I might not have passed that, but I might have. That would have been fun. And that's my Jeopardy story of trying to bluff my way into Jeopardy and failing ultimately.
Amazing.
What a schemer.
I am a schemer. I'm just like you've never lied, I've never told the truth in my whole life.
And you're a criminal mastermind.
Even that statement right now was a paradox.
Yep. That story was okay. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I gave it a 7.9. 7.9.
7.9. So unfair.
That is so insulting.